Would you please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1? Our reading this morning in Hebrews is verses 1 through 10. And I want us to consider, just in general this morning, two grand themes from the Bible. And the first theme is God's dealings with men. That is, the reality of heavenly interactions in earthly matters. And then the second theme would be God's righteousness. That when God deals with us, of course, He deals with us righteously. He does what is right. And these themes are evident, at least in outline form, in Hebrews chapter 1. Now, before we read our text, I want to remind you that the writer to the Hebrews is addressing himself to those of a Jewish mentality. He's writing to Christians, that is true, and they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they still, I think, have many of their thought patterns in terms of the Old Covenant or the Old Testament. So this is why if you look closely at the text, there are many, many quotations from the Old Testament, and in particular the Psalms. And that's because, as I've said, he wants to address them in those terms. And in particular, we are going to see, just as an outline, that in their thinking, the angels or the messengers of God have a prominent place. And we'll just look at a few instances of this to see why the writer is talking about the angels so much in chapter 1. But let's read then our text, verses 1 through 10. In the first three verses, the writer is going to give his thesis statement. And this will basically give the outline of the whole book of the book of Hebrews. Verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers through the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us through his Son. Literally, through a son. That's why we call this a son type of revelation. He has spoken to us now in these last days through his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, or literally he made the ages, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the power, word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. For the Jewish mind, even a regenerated mind of a converted Jew, the writer begins this letter with an explanation of the superiority and the excellence of the new covenant in general terms, and he explains or begins to explain the superiority and excellence of the Lord Jesus Christ himself over against the old covenant rites and rituals of the temple. The final revelation of the eternal redemptive purpose of God has been made in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a final and complete revelation. The days of God coming at various times and in various ways, speaking through the prophets, is gone. This is now the era of the Son type of revelation. He has revealed himself in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, the reconciliation of sinful man to the thrice holy God has been secured by the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, during the Old Testament times, the rites and rituals of the temple were observed every day, and they had to be repeated over and over again. In order to approach God, the sacrifice and shedding of blood had to occur. It was a recurring activity. But now, the Lord Jesus Christ has completed the task of this great reconciliation of sinful man to God. And having done so, he has taken his place once and for all on the throne on high to rule and reign forever. That's the thesis. And he wants these Jewish believers to understand this. But it's interesting now, and this is because of the Jewish mind. What does he do in verses 4 through 7? He argues that the Lord Jesus Christ is so much better than the angels. Verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Now, just as an aside, you might meditate upon this last part of verse 5. To me, it's a very personal thing for God. He's saying that to the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be to him a father. And to me,